All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Vav. We have a lot to do today. Our shir this morning, the shir this week, is dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Gartenhouse for Refuah Shleima for Rit Panina Bas Meira. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she, together with Kol Chol Yisrael, have a complete and enduring Refuah. Thank you for the sponsorship. All right, we'll say let's begin. We have a lot to do. So like we said, today's daf is 106. We're picking up 105B. And we are picking up Hano Shofchai. Our Avraham Safra Amra Abaye. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. Amra Abaye on 105b. Miresh Havamina. So let's remember again, Abaye is telling us about a lot of practices that he thought were for one purpose initially, then changed purpose. Amra Abaye. Miresh Havamina. Haidulo Yasvi Tusi Marziva Mishum Shofchim. In the beginning, I used to think that you don't sit underneath a downspout. Why? Because of wastewater that comes down. Amar Limar, Mishum Deshchichi Mazikin. But Mar told me because also destructive spirits often inhabit the space underneath the downspout. So Limar tells the story. Hano Shokloi, Davadar Chavisi Dechamro. There were a group of porters who were going ahead and carrying a barrel of wine. Bolif Tuche, they wanted to rest. Osvo Tuse Marziva, they put it underneath the downspout. Paka, and ultimately, again, it exploded. The barrel exploded. Asu l'kamei demar baravashi. Supposed to say, get ready for this. The porters understood that why did it explode? There was a shade. There was a demon who caused it to explode. They decided that they were going to go ahead and bring the shade to a din Torah before mar baravashi. Don't try this, right? First of all, don't waste the basin's time. Right? But also, again, but obviously you're talking about more esoteric things here. So they brought the shade before mar baravashi. Afik shipuri shante. So interestingly enough, Rav Ashi, in order to get the shade to show off to Beis Din, took out shofros and put the shade in, he excommunicated them, put the shade in Cherim. Asla Kameh, the shade showed up. Amar Leh, my Tavid Hachi. So Rav Ashi said to the shade, why are you doing this? Amar Leh, Hechi Yavid, Ki Osvua Bu'unai. So the shade said, what do you want me to do? I was laying there minding my own business, and they put the barrel in my ear. So what the shade was saying was, it's these guys, that's my spot. That's my makum. That's my makum, right? So again, they put the barrel right in my ear. What was I supposed to do besides destroy the barrel? Amrale, at beduchto de shlichi rabbi, my bias. So Rav Ashi says to the shade, shadim in general don't inhabit places where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. They don't inhabit highly populated areas. They usually inhabit churvos, ruins. So Rav Ashi says to the shade, what are you doing in the middle of a populated place? Atu deshonis zil shlim. You are the one who acted irresponsibly and out of the norm, and therefore, again, you have to pay back the porters. Amalei, hashtanami likvali mar zimna ve'efra. So the shade said, fine. He said to Rav Ashi, but you got to give me some time. But it's actually an interesting halach in general. Whenever someone is found guilty by Beis Din, in order to pay, very often they're not ordered to pay immediately. There is a recognition that it may take a person some amount of time to accumulate the necessary funds. And therefore, again, they're given that time. So the shade said to Rav Ashi, give me some time and I'll pay. Kavalei zimna. So Rav Ashi gave him a time. Kimata zimna. When the time came, he akiv. So ultimately, the shade didn't show up to Beis Din to pay his debt. Kiyasa, when he finally came, Amale Amaylo Asya Bismanach. So Rav Ashi said to the shade, why did you not show up when I told you to show up? Amale, I'll tell you why. Komili Ditsayir Vechasim Vekayel Umani Leslan Rishusa Lemishkalmine. The shade says anything that essentially is closed, sealed, or identifiable as belonging to someone, we have no rishus on. Ad mishtachin mini dehefkira. So the shade said the only thing that we are permitted to take are hefker items. Therefore, the shade said to Rav Ashi, took me a little while to accumulate the necessary funds to be able to repay the debt, ultimately because I could only take it from hefker property. Pretty amazing. Vamra Abaye. Meresh. Hava mina haide shadi maya mipuma dechatzba. Mishum tzivsa. So what says Abaye says again, in the beginning I used to think that the reason you remove the upper layer of water from the pitcher are because of wood chips that may get mixed in and pose some type of danger. Amr Limar, the Gemara says, however, Amr Limar mishum di'ika mayim haroim. But then it was told to me, you have to remove the upper layer from the pitcher. Why? Because there's bad waters. What does it mean, bad waters? Look at Rashi. Mayim roim. Pamim sheshasim and shade vizutakanasan. Because sometimes maybe a shade drank from the water, and therefore again you remove the upper layer of the water. So we'll say, get ready for this. Beirav Papa, excuse me. Hahu bar shid dehava beirav Papa. Apparently, Rav Papa had a shade who used to work for him. Okay? Azul lasui mai minara. So let's listen to this. So what happened? So the shade went to collect for Rav Papa water from the river. Iakiv, and it took the shade a while to come back with the water. Kiyasa amrulei amai akvis. So they asked the shade, what took you so long? Why did you take so long? Amrulei. So the shade obviously was able to perceive that the waters in the river had been touched, or there are other shadim who drank from it. Therefore, he did not want to bring back waters that other shadim drank from. So it took him a little while to find water. Okay. Adhachi tap of kovav. Adhachi chazinu de kashadu mayami puma de chatzpa. When he got back and he handed them the pitcher of water, or the barrel of water, he saw that when they poured it into a pitcher, they poured off the top layer of the water. Amar ihava yadana diraglisulami avatahi, to which the shade said, had I known that you guys do this, pour off the top layer of the water, then lo iakvi, I would not have gone ahead and taken so long. In other words, the shade said, I was trying to help by waiting to dafka collect waters that would not be impacted by shadim. Had I known that you were going to pour off the top layer of the water, I wouldn't have waited so long, and I would have brought you back water. Incredible. Kiyasa Ravdimi. So we'll say back to a little bit of Mayim Yishur and Mayim Achronim. Kelser Abdimi Amar, Maim Harishonim, Heachilu Basar. This is actually incredible. So Abdimi said, if you're not careful with Maim Rishonim, with washing your hands before a meal, Heachilu Basar Chazer, you could end up eating Chazer. Achronim, Hotsia Esaisha Mibaila. If you fail to do Maim Achronim, ultimately again it could result in some significant Shalom Bayis problems. Now, what does this mean? So look at Rashi, it's incredible. Hechilu basar chazer, what does it mean if you don't wash your hands? If you don't do netilas daim before you eat, you could end up eating chazer. Look at Rashi. Shayachen v'ni Yisrael mocher basar shchutza li Yisrael. U mevashal u ma'achalim. U ma'achilam. U kishovi kochavim baba chanuso. Ma'achilu nevelos. Bosse, listen to this incredible story. So the Gemara says that there was once a storekeeper, and this storekeeper, he had kosher meat and non-kosher meat. When a Jew would come in, he would go out and give him kosher meat. When a non-Jew would come in, he would give him non-kosher meat. Gerari will say, Uba Yehudi Echad Lechol. So one time a Jew came into this shopkeeper's store, Velo Natal Yadav, and he didn't wash his hands. He didn't do Netilas Yadayim. Ukisavar Zeh Sha'ovid Kochavim Hu. And the storekeeper, because the Jew didn't do Netilas Yadayim, ultimately what? Thought he was an Akum, thought he was a Gentile, an idolater, Ve'achilu basar chazer. And as a result, he went ahead and he fed him chazer. So first of all, there's an incredible mussar in this. And the incredible mussar in this, Rabosei, is that the depth of our Judaic identity is forged by the little things that we do in our Yiddishkeit. It's an incredible, incredible yisod. Meaning, I will say, yes, it's true that obviously my Judaic identity is certainly forged. Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, of course, major, major, major pillars. I will say, it's also the day-to-day smaller things that I do that absolutely endow me with Judaic identity. And it's those things that allow me to be an active Jew, and it's those things that allow me to be perceived as a Jew. So you see again, here this guy walks in, and amazingly enough, he did not do Netilas Yadayim. And he didn't. So what happens? The shopkeeper thinks that he's not Jewish. Rabbi said there's another piece, which is the world respects us more when we adhere to the details of our religion. You see, sometimes we think that we have to compromise things in order to go ahead and gain acceptance. We think we have to compromise things because we don't want to look strange. We have to compromise things because we don't want to rock the boat. It's not true. We always have to be careful with how we present ourselves in greater society. But society respects us more when they see us being respectful, even to the most minor details of our Yiddishkeit. An incredible yisod. What's the case of the Shalom Bayis, Mayim Achronim? Look at Rashi. This is actually a little bit of a more intense story. The Perek Basra de Yoma Bo'ovda de Kidor, Ikele Mandamar Katla, Ikele Mandamar Lo Katla Alavka. So we'll say, this is a story. We actually learned this before, this story. In Yuma, there was a guy named Kidor. He was an innkeeper. There were a group of Rabbanim, ultimately, who went ahead and went to Kidor's inn. Right? Kidor was an Akum. And what happens? And what happens? So, actually, I don't know if Kidor is an Akhmer. I take that back. So they entrusted their money purses with Kidor on Erev Shabbos. Matzei Shabbos, they say, Kidor, give us back the money pouches. Kidor says, Lo hayudvar me'olam. I don't know what you're talking about. So they saw that Kidor had lentils in his mustache. They went over to his wife and they said to his wife, Mrs. Kidor, your husband told us to go ahead and tell you to give us back our money pouches. And the sign, the signal, right? The secret code is you gave him lentils for dinner, right? She gave them back the money pouches because she thought, how else would they know this piece of information? And what happened? So there's two different Gersos of the story. One Gersos writes, he got so angry with her, he killed her. Second Gersos writes, he got so angry with her, he divorced her. Either way, it wasn't good. And why did all this happen? Because he didn't do Mayim Achronim. See, they both say part of Mayim Achronim ultimately, again, is the washing of hands. And after the washing of hands, the going ahead and cleaning out of one's mustache and one's beard from any type of residue of food. So the Gemara is obviously using this as a story, again, to the importance of Mayim Achronim. Ki Asa Rabin, when Rabin came along, he said, Rishonim Ha'achilu Basar Nevela. So I'll say in Rabin's version of the story, the shopkeeper didn't give them Chazarat, gave them Nevela. So we'll say, remember again, Chazer is a worse prohibition than Nevela. Achronim hargo es anafesh. But in the case of Mayim Achronim, their version of the Kidor story is that Kidor killed his wife. Amrav Nachman, we'll say, Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, about seven lines down. Amrav Nachman by Yitzchak. Visimanach, and the way to remember who said what, is Asar Abdimi Afka, Asar Rabin Katla. Rav Dimi came, he took her out. Rabin came, he killed her. We'll say, which is a reference to their two different versions of the Kidor story. Rabbi Abba Masni Chada Mehani V'Chada Mehani L'Chumra. Rabbi Abba actually merged both versions and took the two stringent views. We'll say, so in Rabbi Abba's version, the Kidor story ends with Kidor killing his wife, and the Chenveni story, the shopkeeper, ends with him feeding them Basar Chaser. Either way, the point I will say that the Gemara is making is the importance of Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim. You know, it's interesting. The Mayim Rishonim story is a bit more compelling, as the message of that story, ultimately is what? Is that your Judaic identity, as you said before, is solidified and concretized by your adherence to the small details of your Yiddishkeit. The Kidor story, I will say, I guess is an important story, doesn't seem to deliver the same punch in terms of the importance of my machronim, but nevertheless, Chazal bring it. Good. Itmar. So also, here we go. Back to the halachos concerning what you could use for washing. So also, I just want to point out, remember, we saw a lot of these sugyas in brachas already, but again, interestingly enough, the Gemara is just chazering them over here. So the Gemara goes right there. Itmar. Chame ha'ar. So also, chame ha'ar means water heated up by fire. So can it be used for netilas daim? Chizkiya amar einot lin mehen liyadayim. Chizkiya says, you cannot go ahead and use them for netilas daim. We'll say this is for washing before a meal. Rabbi Yochanan amar einot lin mehen liyadayim. So if you remember again, we saw this yesterday. And in yesterday's daf, we already discussed about the use of warm water versus cold water. So remember again, the use of warm water, the concern is that what? It doesn't fully remove the schmutz. Instead, it actually allows for things to become more absorbed in the hands. That's the stress we have going on over here. So Rose, so for example, we already established, we saw the Shulchan Aruch in yesterday's daf, who says that what? That halacha lemaisa, we go ahead and for my machronim, we use cold water. We do not use warm water. And again, the logic for that being is because we want Mayim Achronim to be able to clean off the hands. Literally, again, if there's schmutz, and therefore we prefer the use of cold water. Now we're focusing on what about Mayim Rishonim, water from Tiyas Adayim. So we have machlokis, you have water heated up by fire. Rabbi Yochanan says you could wash with it, and ultimately Chizkiya says you can't wash with it. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Sha'alti is Rabbi Gamliel ben Osho Rabbi, Suva Ochel Taros. So I once asked this Shaila, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi, and he ate Taros, right? He ate taras. Ultimately, again, he ate ultimately things in a state of ritual purity, which means he was very vigilant with these things in general. And he told me all the gidolim of the Galil, all the gidolim of the north, go ahead and wash with warm water. Or as you don't have to wash with warm water, but permit the washing of the hands with warm water. Chami Tveria. Bose, what about Chami Tveria? Now, Bose, now what's the chilik over here? Chame Tveria is water from the hot springs of Tveria. So opposed to Chame Or, which is cold water, which is heated up, Chame Tveria comes from, is naturally hot, natural springs. So what's the halacha with these waters? Can they be used for Mayim Rishonim? Chizkiya Amar Einot L'men Liyadayim. So Chizkiya says you cannot use them for Natilas Yadayim, Aval Matbilin Bohemes Yadayim. But I will say you could do, but you can do Tevilas Yadayim. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. Again, it's not a sugya, because this came up in brachas, but very, very, very quickly. So we'll say, so listen to this. Remember again, the halacha is that normally when washing your hands, this is true for a meal, this is true for the test time in the morning, you're supposed to go ahead and wash your hands with a kli, right? You take water and a utensil, you pour it over your hands. There is a concept, if you don't have a kli, of doing tevilas yadayim. Right? Immersing your hands in water, like if you're doing this for Nagelwasser, you would immerse it 3 times. If you're doing it before eating bread, 2 times. The bracha you make on that is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Shamo Tzav Tzivanu, Al Tevilas Yadayim. There's such a concept like that. So therefore, again, I will say, now watch this. So therefore, you have Chizkiya saying, you cannot use Chamea or for Tevila, but Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't, I'm sorry, Chamit Verichiskiya says you cannot go ahead and use them to wash hands. So it's like right across from Tosus Mayim Shenifsalu. So you cannot go ahead and use Chamit Verich for Natilas Yadayim, but you can use it for Tevilas Yadayim. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Gufo Tova Lahen. You could immerse your entire body in Chamit Verich, Avalo Ponav Yodav Viraglov, but not your hands, your face, and your feet. So what does that mean? So hashta kol gufo tovo bahen panav yadav raglav lo. So I don't understand. If you could go ahead and immerse your entire body, which means that if I become tame, I could use chame teveria as a mikvah. So what does it mean that panav yadav raglav I can't? So the gemara says lo kol shekein. Amra papa. Here we go. Bimkoman dekoli amalo pliyi deshari. So what's your papa says like this. When you have Chamei Tveria collected in their natural place, everyone agrees that they are usable. They're usable for a mikvah, they're usable ultimately again for Tevilas Yadayim. However, where does the Machlokes come up? Mishkal Minayah B'mana. So I'll say ultimately again, if you draw Chamei Tveria in a utensil, Kuli Amalo Pligi De'aser. Everyone will agree that ultimately again Chamei Tveria will be usher for you. So I will say, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Bimikoman, you see that Rashi? Bichiburan imbalahatu yadaban. So everyone agrees that if you want to immerse your hands in Chamei Tveria, for al tevilas yadayim, it will work. Dukholi ama shaper damish. The shame tevila aleim kichom ma'ayonos mikvos. Fine. However, Rashi says, mishko mina b'mana, if you went ahead and you drew water from the hot spring of Tveria, dukholi ama usher. Everyone will agree that you cannot use that water for Netila Sedayim. Now, why not? Rashi says, "Dechitakun Rabbanu Netila Lav B'chamen Tikun V'hani Grii Michame Or Shalo Haisel and Shaschon." So, actually, this is going with the idea that the Iker Takana of Netila Sedayim is the use of cold water. The use of cold water. Now, if you have cold water that was heated up, okay, so maybe we'll go ahead and allow that. But water which was never cold, i.e. water which was always hot, from a natural hot spring, so the Gemara is suggesting over here, everyone will agree that is not fit at all for Netilas Yadayim. See, interestingly enough, you could use it when it's collected in its natural place, so when it's in the ground, you could use it out Tevilas Yadayim. But if you put it into a utensil, such water is not usable at all for Netilas Yadayim. Okay, so where does the Machlokes come up? Kipligi depaskinu bebas birta. So I'll say, so where does the Machlokes come up? If you siphoned off some of the water from the natural spring and you put it into its own separate channel. Rashi says, dafsekinu bebas birta, charitz katzer, v'amayim ponim sham ve'in sham shir mikvah. So listen to this interesting case. I have my hot spring. I go ahead and I dig a little channel off it, and a little bit of water pools in a separate spot in the ground. Now there's not enough there in the separate spot to be considered a mikvah, but it is attached, quote unquote, to the original ma'ayon, to the original spring, to the original mikvah. So does that work? So Marisav Gazina Baspirta Atumana. So one says, we don't let you use the water in the channel, lest you come to use the water in a utensil. Umar Savar lo gazrinon. And the other opinion says, no, we're not concerned about this. To which the Gemara says, Kitanoi. In reality, this is a machlokes tanoi. How so? Ma'im shenif su mishdias behema. If you have water which is unfit for drinking by an animal, so bekelim psulim, if that water is in a utensil, you cannot use it ultimately again for netilas yadayim. However, bekarka ksherin, but if that water is in the ground, then ultimately again it will be kosher. So if that water is in the ground in a way that it could form a mikvah, ultimately again that water is usable. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Af Bekarka Tovo Behen Kol Gufo. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, if it's in the ground, you could actually use it for a full body immersion. Avalo Panav Yadav Viraglov. But not for your hands, your face, and your feet. What does that mean? Hashta Kol Gufo Tovo Behen Yadav Viraglov Lakol Shekin. I don't understand. If it's usable for my entire body, so why wouldn't it be usable ultimately again for my hands, my face, and my feet? Elalav Dipaskino Babas Birta. Rather, I will say, what's the case over here? The case of it is, I have this water which is pooled in the ground and is technically usable as a mikvah. I now go ahead and create a little channel from that mikvah into a smaller pool. The smaller pool doesn't have enough water to be its own mikvah. So the shaila is, what could I use this water in the smaller pool for? Ubahapligi, demars over gazrinan bas birta atumana. One says you cannot use the water in the smaller pool, lest you come to go ahead and use the water in a utensil. Umar savar lo gazrinan. And the other opinion says that we are not concerned. So we'll say so again. Therefore, bottom line, what comes out over here is now we'll say now the truth is the way we paskin is you could even use warm water for netilas yadayim. It's fine. But what is interesting to note over here is clearly it's a machlokes. And even in those who don't permit you or who permit you to use warm water, it's quite possible that the water must have been cold at some point in time and was heated up. But if water was naturally warm from the beginning, you cannot use that in a kli. However, if that water is in a mikvah in the ground, ultimately again you can use it alt tevilas yadayim. Where does the machlokes come up? If you take that water which was in the ground and channel it off to a smaller pool, can you go ahead and use that smaller pool? That seems to be subject to machlokes. But I will say, but bottom line, the way we paskin is that one could just ideally for my machronim you're using cold water. But for my Mishonim, one could even use warm water. And the halacha does not seem to distinguish if that was cold water that became warm, or it was water that was naturally warm from the beginning. Listen to this. Actually quite interesting. Why do we wash before we eat bread? So says the Gemara, Mipnei Srach Truma. So we'll say the reason we wash before we eat bread is as a way of bolstering the halachos of truma. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. So we'll say in general we hold that general hands are what we call the shnios latuma, right? Second grade tuma. That's what we assume because the hands touch things. Therefore, again, the hands is a shni latuma. If I'm a kohen and I want to eat truma, I need to go ahead and wash my hands. Right, a ritual washing prior to going ahead and eating of my truma. So Rashi suggests over here, Avachulin lo mahani behushini, meisrach truma shergilu ochle truma, litoy deim hanoages bechos. Well, listen to this. Because Kohanim had to go ahead and wash before eating truma, and because most of truma came from grain products, Chazal instituted that everyone washes their hands before we eat bread. Why do we all wash our hands to eat bread? All for the Kohanim. We wash our hands before we eat bread, so that the Kohanim should remember to wash their hands before they eat Truma. And we'll say now, Kohanim have to wash their hands before they eat Truma, technically speaking, because why? Because if hands are a Sheni could transmit Tuma ultimately again to Truma. Sheni cannot transmit Tuma to Chulin, like is what we eat, but nevertheless, to bolster the Kohanic observance of the sanctity of Truma, we all wash before we eat bread. I will say incredible. To which the Gemara says, "Va'od mishum mitzvah." Furthermore, we also wash before we eat bread because it's a mitzvah. My mitzvah. We'll say, "What's the mitzvah?" Am Rabbi mitzvah lishmo divrei chachamim. So we'll say, "This is great." So what happens? So the Rabbi said, we wash our hands before we eat bread in order to safeguard the practice of the Kohanim washing their hands before they eat truma. And so therefore, that's why we do it, and it's also a mitzvah. Why is it a mitzvah? Because it's a mitzvah to listen to what the rabbis tell us, right? It's a mitzvah, which, by the way, Interesting enough, Rabbi say that's not a meaning. The Torah, it's true. Right, it's true. What are you laughing at? So let's say. So remember again, the Torah says, "Lo sasser min hadavar sheagidu lecha yamin usmol." That's whatever Chazal tell us, we are not permitted to veer right or left. Which I will say, remember we spoke about this in the past. This habit of Shechter has an incredible piece about this in a Sefer Ikvei Atzon, where it discusses this idea that it turns out that on some level, every Dirabanan actually also has the power of a Doraisa. Because if Chazal legislates something, there's a biblical obligation for me to listen to Chazal. Which means if I don't listen to Chazal, I'm not only violating rabbinic law, but on some level, I'm ultimately violating biblical law as well. All right, interesting idea. Amar Abaye. I'm sorry. Amar Rava says, Mitzvah l'shmo div Rebbe Elazar ben Arach. So I'll say, Rava says, no. It's the mitzvah to listen to the words of Rebbe Elazar ben Arach. What does Rebbe Elazar ben Arach say? Dichsiv, v'chal asher yiga bo hazav, v'yadav lo shataf ma'am. So this is actually a very interesting pasuk. So the pasuk says, anything that a zav will touch, v'yadav lo shataf ma'am, and his hands were not washed in water. So the halacha says, it becomes tameh. Then I will say, now remember again, a zav becomes tar, how? Through immersion in a mikvah. Yet here the pasuk says, anything that a zav touches, and he has not washed his hands. Now I will say, whether the zav washes his hands or not is totally irrelevant. If he has not yet gone to the mikvah, he is going to convey tumah. So why does the Torah mention hand washing by a zav? So watch this. So the Gemara says, Amar Elazar ben Arach, mikan samuchu chachamim, l'netilas edayim in haTorah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says, from this pasuk, Chazal understood a biblical allusion. This is more an asmach, the Rabbi saying, to the concept of netilas yadayim. What does that mean? Amar li Rav al-Rav Nachman, my mashma, what's the deeper meaning that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is darshaning? Here we go. Dechsiv v'yadav lo shataf b'mayim. Because it says by the Zav that he has not washed his hands in water. Hash shataf tar. Are you telling me that if the Zav did wash his hands in water, sid be tar? That's not true. Hatvila boy. Both say the zav requires immersion in a mikvah. Elahachi kamara. This is what he's saying. Ve'achar shelo shataf tamei. The pasuk is actually talking about two things. The pasuk is saying ve'chalashe yigav azav. Whenever a zav touches something, it becomes tamei. Kama v'yadav lo shataf b'mayim. And there is another case of someone who has not washed his hands, who could convey tuma ultimately again to something else. Who's the person who didn't wash his hands, who could convey tumah to something else? That would be the Kohen, to Truma, and by extension, the rest of us, Midirabanan, to other items as well. So again, I want to be clear. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is not suggesting that the actual intent of the Pasuk is to talk about someone who hasn't washed his hands, or the obligation for Netilas Yadayim. This is what we call an Asmachta. Asmachta means Chazal Mika Halacha, and they find a scriptural or biblical allusion to that Halacha. So in this phrase, V'yadav lo shataf b'mayim, which shows that there's an obligation to wash hands, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach understands, here is a scriptural allusion to the enactment of Chazal, that before we eat bread, we do Netilas Yadayim. Why? In order that the Kohanim should always remember to do Netilas Yadayim before partaking of Truma. Amar Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia. Lo amu Netilas Yadayim leperos. So what Rabbi Yoshia says, we do not wash our hands for fruit. Before eating fruit, Ela Mishum Nikias. Rather, again, if you wash your hands before fruit, it's ultimately, again, for cleanliness purposes. In other words, what does that mean? So remember, again, there is, one could make the argument for going ahead and washing before fruit. And I will say that is why. That is because, remember, again, once a fruit becomes wet, ultimately it's receptive to tumah. Yadayim are shnios. And therefore, again, technically speaking, it could convey tumah. So the Gemara says, we don't do this. We do not go ahead and wash our hands before fruit, unless, of course, you want to do so for cleanliness purposes. Savar minei chovuhu deleka hamitzvah ika. So we'll say, we can infer from this, it's an obligation, but if you want to, there's a mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, Amar lehu Rava, lo chova velo mitzvah el rishos. Rava says, no. It's not obligatory. It's not even a mitzvah. It's optional. In other words, if you want to, you can. Upligad Rav Nachman. This argues Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman, hanotel yodav leperos eino ela megase haruach. Moshe Rav Nachman says, no, washing before fruit is arrogant. So what does that mean? So I will say, a person who washes before fruit goes ahead and portrays themselves as someone who is exceptionally meticulous with the laws of Tumah and Tahara at a time when it's not even necessary. So Rav Nachman says, such a practice like that is arrogant. So therefore, again, I will say, you see, an interesting machlokus. You have Rava saying, you don't have to do it, but it's a rishus. And Rav Nachman saying, you cannot do it. And if you do it, it's actually a display of arrogance. Om Rav Arachana, have a kamina. Kameid Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. The Bosnian is an incredible maisa. Rav Arachana says, I was once standing before Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. I used to look kamayo ka kala de peri. So remember again, this is Rav Arachana saying, I was in front of Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. They brought before Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi a basket of fruit. Va'achlu. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi ate from the fruit. Number one, they didn't wash their hands. Number two, they didn't offer me anything. And ultimately, again, and they each recited a bracha achrona on their own. So three things Rabbi was saying. Number one, they ate the fruit without washing. Number two, they didn't offer me any fruit. Number three, they each said a bracha achrona on their own. Shmamina tlas. And we learn three things from here. Shmamina, we'll say the second wide line. Number one, Shamina in the Tazan Pera. So we'll say number one, I learned from Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. Ultimately, again, that's what? That halacha lemaisa, you don't wash before eating fruit. Shmamina in mezamnen ala peros. We'll say number two, there is no zimun for fruit consumption. We'll say, now where did he learn that from? The fact that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi did not invite him to join in their fruit consumption indicated that they did not need a zimun. Right? There's no zimun by fruit. And number three, Shmamina Shnaim Sha'achlu Mitzvah Lechalik. And lesson number three is that when two people eat together, one should not recite the Bracha Achrona for both of them. Rather, everyone lechatchila should recite their own Bracha Achrona. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Tayinami Hachi, Shnaim Sha'achlu Mitzvah Lechalik. So we'll say, furthermore, we learned this is an important idea. When you have people eat together, everyone should recite their own Bracha Achrona. Right? Everyone should recite their own bracha achrona. When is that true? Shayush name sofrim. If both of them were knowledgeable, aval echad sofer veechad bur. But if one was knowledgeable, one was not. Sofer mevarech ubor yotzei. Then ultimately, again, the sofer means the knowledgeable one makes the bracha, and ultimately what? And the illiterate one is yotzei. So we'll say it's important to talk about bracha achrona in general. That ideally, everybody should make their own bracha achrona. If a person doesn't know how to make their bracha achrona, they can absolutely be yotzei with the bracha achrona of someone else. The truth is, again, remember, even b'dieved, if you can make your own bracha achrona, if you have in mind to be yotzei with someone else, and they have in mind to be motzi you, then halacha lemaaseh, you are yotzei the bracha achrona. I will say, just understand also how profound this is. This little maaseh, this profound to other levels, which is the power of having a Rebbe who you could learn from. And again, what we all learn from our Rebbe, I will say, is not just what they say, but by observing their behaviors, which always is an incredible thing. And I will say, this is also an incredible lesson in general in terms of parenting here, which is, remember, your children remember very little of what you say, and remember almost everything of what you do. And they will glean their conclusions about life and about you, and about what's true and what's good in life based on what you do. You can give all of the lectures in the world you want. You could do all the finger wagging and all the muster you want. It doesn't make much of a difference. They're going to see how you act. They're going to see how you behave. And they're going to draw their conclusions from the things they see you doing. If that's what happens with a Talmud to a Rebbe, it's certainly what happens from a child to a parent as well. Tan Rabbanon. Netilas is actually very interesting. Netilas Adayim is really great. Gemara's. Netilas Adayim L'chulin Ad HaPerek. So also listen to this. So now we're going to talk about, we have various washings. Where do you wash until? So number one, so Rabbi said, Netiyaz Daim for Chulin means Ada Perak. Rabbi said, I'm going to translate this to you according to Rashi. Ada Perak means until the first knuckle. First knuckle. So if we're working our way down from the top of the finger down. So for Chulin, you only have to wash ultimately again until the first knuckle. Now we'll see the halacha lemaisa. The Truma, for Truma, on the base, Ada Perek. We'll say, so for Truma until the knuckle. Which knuckle? Next knuckle down. We're making our way down the hand. So for Chulin, first knuckle in the middle. For Truma, second knuckle. At right, that joins the fingers to the palm. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim Ad HaPerek. And it will say, for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, which is for the Kohen, going into the Beis HaMikdash, sanctifying his hands and feet before a day of Avodah Ad HaPerek. It will say, which means until where? Until the wrist. Until the wrist. So we'll say, so this is the way the Gemara is setting it up. For Chulin until first knuckle, Truma, second knuckle, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim through the wrist. V'chol davar shechotis betfila beguf, chotis b'netilas yadayim l'chulin, or v'kiddush yadayim raglayim mikdash. I will say furthermore again, anything that creates a chatzitza, right? For tvila and a mikvah. So we'll say, so remember again, chatzitza means anything interposing between the body and the water. Anything that poses a chatzitza for immersion in a mikvah will be problematic for washing your hands for chulin and for kiddush ha'brayos. So we'll say this is very important. So before a person washes, they have to remove any chatzitza. A person wears a ring. You have to, ideally, if a person can't remove a ring, okay, you can wash it. But let me say again, the idea is we remove rings. You remove band-aids. You remove anything and everything that could be a chatzitza for tevila and a mikvah before going ahead and washing your hands for netilas yadayim. Amar Rav, so we'll say Rav said, ad kan lechulin, ad kan lechuma. So we'll say, so Rav said, Rav says, Mara hayo biyado kimo shevirashti. So we'll say Rav was backing up what we said before. He said, ad kan lechuma, you remember again going in this model, first knuckle for chulin, second knuckle for truma, and again, ultimately again, wrist for kiddush adayim raglayim. So Rav said, ad kan lechulin, ad kan lechuma. First knuckle for chulin, and second knuckle for truma. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel said no. Ad kan bein lechulin bein lechuma lechumra. Shmuel said no. Both for chulin and for truma, you go ahead and what? You go ahead and look at Rashi. Shmuel Amar Perek Hacholitz Perek Hacholitz. Sorry, Perek Perek Hachulin vaTruma Shavin lechumra. Beperek Hashlishi Vehusha Begav Hayad. So as I say, interestingly enough, Shmuel is actually saying that both for chulin and for truma, we go ahead and we accept it lechumra and we wash all the way down. Rav Sheshi Samar ad kan lechulin ad kan bein lechulin bein lechuma lekula. So we have Rav Sheshi who says that you wash to the same place for chulin and for truma lekula. Amar Bar Hedja hava kaimna kamed Rabbi Ami. So Bar Hedja says one time I was standing before Rabbi Ami. Va'amar ad kan bein lechulin bein lechuma lechumra. And I will say what happened. And Rabbi Ami said, I wash up until here. Here means to the knuckles. For chulin and for truma. Velo tema Rabbi Ami mushum de kohen hu. And don't say it's just because Rabbi Ami was a kohen. That's why he was machmir. Deha Rabbi Maisha barbarei Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Because we'll say after Rabbi Maisha, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Livoi, he was a Levi. Va'amar ad kan bein lechulin bein lechuma lechumra. And he said, oh, you go up until here, both for chulin and for truma lechumra. So we'll say, so bottom line, this is actually an important halacha. So where do we wash until? So for the Kohanim, they'll have to figure out, we'll have to see what they do for truma, meretz Hashem, hei Rabbi Amenu. But ultimately, again, where do we wash until? For netilas yadayim purposes, well, listen to this. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Hilchos netilas yadayim is seven kuf samech aleph siv dalid. Sheer netilas yadayim. What's a very important halacha? Where do you wash until for netilas yadayim? Kol hayad at kana shel zroa. For chulin we paskin lechumra that we wash all the way until the wrist. So ideally, you want to wash your entire hand all the way until the wrist. Now, interestingly enough, v'yesh omrim. Ad makam chibor ha'etzbaos lekaf hayad. Others say you only have to wash the place where the fingers attach themselves to the palm, which is where Rabbo say second knuckle. Now, by the way, understand the little bit of the confusing piece in this sugya is that all of the parts of the hand are called the same thing, right? They're all called the perek, right? Because what do we say? For chulin until the perek, for truma until the perek, for kiddush ha'raglaim until the perek. Thank you. Right, thank you very much. Perek, perek, perek. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, first opinion of Shulchan Aruch says, for netilas yadayim you wash until the wrist. Second opinion said, you only have to go until the knuckles, this is what we call the second knuckles, working from the top, that attach the fingers, where the fingers ultimately attach to the palm of the hand. Veroy linog kidas harishon. But the Mechaber says, it is appropriate to conduct yourself like the first opinion, and therefore when washing netilas yadayim, ideally we should wash until the wrist. Now both say, the reason why this is important to know, is as follows. The Mishnah Berurah comments and he says something very important. He says, Mashma debishas hadchak sheyesh lamayim b'tzimtzum yuchal lismoch al das hamakilin. So the reason why this is important to know is because as follows. That halacha lemaisa, if you find yourself in a situation where there is a limited amount of water, so you can be mekel. You can make also. Well, it's important. I'm traveling or something else. I don't have enough water to start going ahead and washing until my wrist. So halachah, I say again, there is an opinion that says I can wash until the knuckles. And b'shas hadchak, ultimately, again, it's okay. And we'll say now, the kasher achronim, however, the achronim, I'm pursuing to the Mishnah Berurah, did pisas yado meluchlach mizeah. That ultimately, again, if the palm is actually dirty, now he says, Meluchlach Bazeah means I have sweaty palms, right? Then he says, Chiyah Gavno L'choli Alma Tzarech Lito Ad Sof Pisa Seas. Well, this is actually a very interesting caveat. So the halach is as follows. Meikir Adin for Netez Naim, I should go ahead and wash until the wrist, right? That's the ideal. B'di'eved, if there's a Shas Adchak, I can wash until the knuckles. However, again, if my hands are actually dirty, then everyone will agree that under those circumstances, halacha lemaisa, I should be washing all the way until the wrist. The Mishnah Berurah says one more thing, what this will stop. He says, Rotza lomar af medina, mishi yirtza lahakel kidei ashniya in mochin biyado, dechol safek min tazdaim lekula. L'chatchila roi l'hachmir k'diyah rishona v'chein noagin ha'olam. So we'll say, it's just a very, very important idea. So the Mishnah Berurah says, as much as the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, and therefore again, bidi eved, one could rely on the opinion that says, up until the knuckles, whenever possible, we should try to align ourselves with the opinion that says, up until the wrist, it's only b'shas adchak. Extenuating circumstances, if a person needs to, can they go ahead and wash until the knuckles? We'll stop over here. We'll say just a reminder that there is a Shiva Minyan at the home of Dina Gerber Lerner, 711 Park Heights Avenue, apartment 112. If you could help make that minyan, it'd be much appreciated.